Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs, and we want to thank our hosts right away, and that is the law firm of Tarlow Breed Hart & Rogers, who have been hosting us through all these interviews today and this week. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show, and I want to thank specifically Mark Furman, head of litigation at Tarlow Breed Hart & Rogers. Our next guest are Marcus Quigley, founder and CEO, and David Rubenstein, president and COO of Opti. Correct?
Yes, that's right.
Good.
Yes.
Welcome, guys. Tell us about Opti.
Well, Opti is a company that is focused on water issues, primarily for cities, but also for private clients. We do kind of three primary things. We improve water quality, we reduce flooding, and we reduce the impacts of combined sewer overflows, which I can tell you a little bit more about. It's kind of a detailed subject. So we do this by taking primarily existing assets. So these are places in the city where you store water, and we add intelligence to them, specifically by adding forecast information into their operation, and it makes all the difference.
Is that computer generated, I would assume?
Sure. So we take information from the weather service, and we integrate it with essentially an Internet of Things platform into the operation of these components of the city infrastructure, the storm drain systems. These are the things when you drive around and you see a suburban office park and you're wondering, why is there a lake? These are all parts of our stormwater infrastructure. And it includes things also when you're looking around the city, drainage inlets, gutters. This is all part of the network. You know there are pipes underground somewhere, but they all lead somewhere and they help prevent these problems.
Well, I happen to spend a lot of time on Cape Cod and in Florida, so these seem to be ever increasingly critical issues for homeowners and residents of areas on oceanfront in the United States. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. The issue of flooding in particular is one that people probably resonates with people the most. So coastal flooding, flooding from rivers, even local flooding in cities where you can't get through a street, where there's backed up water, a neighborhood has issues. These are all things that people kind of see in their daily lives. And as you know, are increasingly an issue as we've built out our cities, as we've turned areas that have historically been rural or suburban into more urbanized areas. We've changed the way water flows through the environment. And when you mix people with water, you end up with conflict in many places. And so this is really what drives our market. And you're right to say that it's of increasing importance. And we see things like climate change and global sea level rise not as kind of esoteric ideas, but things that people actually have to deal with on a daily basis.
Do you ever feel like you're the little Dutch boy with your finger in the dike, that you're
sure.
Helping us to prevent some short-term problems, but in the long term, maybe beyond our lives, there's nothing ultimately we can do to stop these properties on the ocean from eventually eroding?
Well, I'm an engineer, so I'm fairly optimistic about these things. We have some amazing tools available to us, and I think there's very little that's kind of outside of our ability to address these issues. So that's the optimistic side.
That is optimistic.
But it's a big problem.
Right.
One of the things
it takes a lot of money too, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's really what we focus on is doing things in new and smarter ways to reduce costs for folks. So that's what drives our business in particular. But they are really big problems. One of the things that's really interesting when you think about it kind of abstractly is that cities have had to react to the way that whatever weather is brought to them. The storm drain system historically hasn't known what's going to happen. We design these things at a point in time, and then we see how they play out over tens or hundreds of years after we've built them. And we're really changing our ability to make those systems not just be kind of set in time as a design exercise, but to be adaptable to what actually is going to happen, not just relative to what the climate is doing, but literally what's going to happen over the next 24, 48, 72 hours. So we think of it literally as redesigning the city for what's going to happen in the extreme near term.
All through computer modeling and programming.
Yeah, we basically do this by putting sensors out into the urban drainage system. We connect those sensors up through secure encrypted communications to cloud infrastructure. Then we integrate that real-time information about how the city operates with the weather forecast. So now we know what is happening, we know what's going to happen, and we can then add one additional component, which is to actually control the city. We add valves and pumps to what's historically been passive infrastructure. So our systems have complete awareness of what's happening, what's going to happen, and have control of the infrastructure. And so our algorithms, without people sitting in the loop, making these decisions, are able to take all of that information and essentially control without us intervening to reduce these outcomes, flooding and water quality.
Are you, is your client the cities and towns and the municipalities of the United States?
Yeah, primarily major cities. We've got an amazing set of customers, actually, and I can talk about a few of them as examples. New York City, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia Water Department, Chicago, Milwaukee, Los Angeles, some folks outside of Portland, Oregon.
What about the city we're sitting in?
Boston. We interestingly, we've done less in the city of Boston. We've been doing these things other places. And there's a number of historical reasons why Boston has actually fewer problems than many places. But
tougher sell, selling to government bodies.
Yeah,
slower sell.
Yeah, we're we're private equity venture backed, and it was pretty interesting when we were out shopping around for investors, as we do from time to time, to get the reactions about the fact that we're addressing a public market, and. There's a couple of things there. It can be very exciting. This is a just the flooding issue, the water quality issue, and combined sewer. It's about $100 billion that have to be spent by these cities over the next 20 years. So it's a very large market. It's
right.
A niche, but it's
investment.
But as you said, it's a very conservative, kind of plotting market at times from an entrepreneur's perspective.
I'm sure a lot of towns are thinking more in terms of potholes than the water,
yeah.
Because that's the
right.
More obvious the day-to-day issue. But not the longer-term issue.
That's right. It depends on where you are. I mean, if you're in the Chesapeake Bay right now and you're subject to the kind of the consequences of the Clean Water Act in your local community, just from a cost perspective for compliance around keeping the water clean and the Chesapeake Bay protected, you recognize this. I mean, these are not insignificant amounts of money that are being spent at the local level. Just to give you an idea, a county like Prince George's in Maryland will spend $1.2 billion. This is one county, $1.2 billion over the next 30 years just complying with the Clean Water Act relative to discharges to the Chesapeake Bay. So these are the public markets, which can be slow on the uptake. The sales cycle can be longer, but they're very significant opportunities. When you look at the upside, the two things we look at are, market size, the uniqueness of our offering. I mean, right now we have no competition in what we're doing specifically. And then something that's not talked about a lot is the long tail of public markets. When you get them over the hump, it's not like taking your iPhone and switching it out every 3 years. When you change civil engineering technology, when you change the way we build cities, this has an incredibly long tail, and our investors certainly recognize that.
Do you sell a lot also outside of the country? I mean, I think about the Caribbean. I think about the coast of Europe. I think about Canada, the Maritimes. Selling outside of the country?
We are in Canada, and we are in the UK. But we've had to intentionally be very disciplined about not pursuing international opportunities. As I said, there's a large market in the U.S., and we get calls all the time asking us to be in Australia and China.
Right, Australia.
And Europe.
New Zealand.
Exactly. And these
Brazil.
Are places with incredibly difficult water problems, and we do want to solve them, but we have to stay focused as well.
So, how did you get into this business, and how did you get together with David? I mean, I assume totally different personalities that you brought and skills you brought to the game.
Yeah, I think very complimentary. Yeah. So I'm a water resources engineer. I've been focusing on the underlying technical issues since I got out of graduate school and was in consulting for 15 years before spinning this out as an independent company from a larger consulting firm. So it's kind of a unique story too about how we were created, so we could talk about that a little bit. So we had focused, I think it's a great way to build a company and certainly to found one, is to have deep national level expertise in the specific subject matter that is kind of the underlying component of particularly a tech company. So that's really where I came to this from. And then we met David. We really have grown to the point where we needed to add some significant experience and expertise on the operation side of things. We had a little bit of a leadership vacuum. You know, you grow to a certain point and you say, we need some additional help. And so we went out and looked at what our options were and did a very in-depth interview process. And we're lucky enough to find David Rubenstein. So,
oh, thank you. I had heard about Opti 3 or 4 years ago and was actually starting to follow it because I thought, no, this is a pretty interesting problem set and something I could really care about. And then over the summer, I was contacted through an employee referral of someone at Opti and started the discussions. And as I got more and more engaged in it, I just started learning more and more. And I saw the Smart Cities initiative that's taking place within technology. And over the course of 21 meetings and many reference checks, we figured out that this is the right team for the company. So I love getting up every morning and getting in and working with this team. We've got a great opportunity in front of us.
Great. It's funny how time flies. If somebody's looking for you or Opti, how would they do that?
Well, the best place is to go to our website, optirtc.com.
Right.
And that's probably the best way to engage.
Good. Would you come back and talk about some of the specific water issues that you're dealing with, so we can get into some case studies without mentioning names if you don't want to do that?
Sure. No, and we're happy to. I mean, with public customers in particular, we're happy to talk about what's going on. But yeah, we'd love to talk about that more.
Great, because I do think it's a concern and an ongoing issue, as I told you.
Absolutely.
My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. I want to thank our friends at Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more stories after just these short messages.